They give the tzedakah, they give the tax collector, the tzedakah, the gabbai tzedakah, what he said. But when they're checking out, they go back to the tzedakah, they go back to the gemach, and they take that money and they take it back with them. The money is not given to the poor people in that town, but it is given or designated while they are there. Why would a town care? Like, why would the gabbai in this town feel the need to get this money from the out of town visitors if it's not staying in the town?
They never use that money.
No, the local town holds the money, and when they're leaving to go back to their place of origin, they give it back to them, and they take it and they distribute it to the poor of their own town.
There must be someone there. Like
they can't use it.
They leave permanently. They keep the money.
Oh, that's interesting. What did you say? No, because it's not
like a deposit.
It's not. Now you go to a hotel. You give them your credit card, which they keep as a security, right? No, it's designated for tzedakah, and once it's designated as tzedakah, it can only be used as tzedakah.
Two reasons. One is because you give me the money, it's designated for tzedakah, I have to give it back to a church, but in the meantime, that money's earning interest. And the interest goes to the people of this town. So making money without making money.
They're taking the float. That assumes an economy in which the bank is lending out.
But also, it's a way of making sure that people don't skip out on their obligation to get stuck. Because let's say I live in Minsk, and I hear through the rumors that they're about to put in a thing that everybody has to.
So you're gonna dodge. You're gonna dodge.
So you know what? Hey, let's go to Pinsk. So we go to Pinsk. Now you still got a bank.
But how did Pinsk know that this person was dodging and stuck in Minsk?
No. It's not like, okay, like, I dodged it this week, but eventually the law of averages will catch up to you. You're still going to get stuck. You're not getting out of your obligation. It's a way of saying, like, you still have an obligation to get stuck and you're not getting out of it.
So Rashi says, you see, Rashi notnim ota lagabai ota ha'ir k'day shelo yichashdum be poskim ve'enan nutnim. It's almost like a marisayim. They have to, and why would it be enough for them to just pledge the money? And then when they get back to their own town, they fulfill the pledge. And that the money has to change hands. It goes to the gabbai, and then the gabbai returns it to them as they're checking out of town.
But it's been earmarked for tzedakah and they can't use it for anything else. So they're given tzedakah. But if they
earmarked it without giving it to the gabbai, it also has to be given for tzedakah.
There's a kinyan. It's about to make a kinyan. Pass it over.
I think it's more physical reminder for you from forgetting.
Let's say I want to give money to tzedakah. And I take a 10 shekel note. I take a 20 shekel note out of my pocket. And I intend on putting it into the kupa or into the pushkin. You know, when the gabbai comes around shaking the stuck again. And for whatever reason, he doesn't make it to my row, and I never end up putting it in the pushka. And later in the day, I find that 20 shekel in my pocket. That's stuck. I have to give it to stuck. And presumably, I have to give it to the specific stuck that I had designated it for. Okay. Now I can be a no-goodnik and I can put it back in my wallet and wink, wink, nobody knows. But it's just stealing from tzedakah.
It's enough just to think and not to actually see?
Not clear. Presumably you have to take some action, either make an oral pledge or, you know, taking the money out of your wallet and with the intention to give.
You can also presume it doesn't have to be that actual note.
Yeah, no, this money is fungible. Tzedakah doesn't care whether it's this 20 shekel note or it's two 10 shekel coins. That's not, it's the value.
In this case, the reason why you actually have to give the money over is as a physical reminder.
Or maybe today. Maybe it's because you have, like, if you had a scenario where, let's say, everyone in the shul or whatever the place was, they're going in to collect them. You don't want a scenario where some people are collecting and some people are giving, some people not. It suddenly looks like, oh, well,
that's what Rashi's saying.
No, I'm saying, no, not just for the, not just so they wouldn't be Nechshadim, but also because, so like, you know, if let's say the local people see some people not giving, they might also, I'm not giving also. You want, there's no exceptions. Everyone gives.
Right.
And then you don't have to worry about, it's the effect of the local people, not just the Mari Ayin for the travelers, but the local people also, everyone's giving.
That's what, I think that's what Rashi is saying. And they take it back and they give it to the poor of their own town. Tanya Nami Hochi. There's a brisa that supports this view. Bnei ha'ir shehalchu le'ir acheret ufasku aleihem tzedaka notnim ukashein bo'in mevino to'im ahem. Is that in any way different than the statement of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Meir?
Doesn't have the mefarsim.
Doesn't have the mefarsim. Right. Mefarnasim. But it's essentially the same thing. And it's a brisa that's just in support of that teaching. V'yochid, however, it goes on. V'yochid shehalach le'ir acheret ufasku alav staka tinatein la'aniye otah he'ir. So what's the difference here? According to the brisa. Yeah, in other words, the halacha rishona, the halacha of Rabbi Meir, is only applies to who? Bnei Ha'ir, a group. You're going with Tour Plus. And you show up wherever you're going, right? You're going on one of these tours. You go on these tours, don't you? To China, to wherever. No, to where? Morocco. Italy. So you go with your group into the shul, right? Lapland. Is there a shul in Lapland? No. But in Italy there is. So when you go together as a group, what happens when you go together as a group? You maintain your integrity as people that came, in your case, people that came from Eretz Yisrael, or people that came from Efrat. The question of like minhag ha-makom, if a group of people comes, normally you go into a shul. How should you daven? According to the minhag ha-makom. We don't do this. But technically speaking, it could be you go into it. I mean, forget the whole nusach achid or the not. We don't have nusach achid. We have nusach dealer's choice, right? In some, it's become more popular. We don't have it here. They have it in Zayin Ranan, where they fly a flag or they put up something. You know, in the shul in Alon Shvut, they have an aleph and a samech, and depending upon who the chazan is, they indicate whether it's the davening nusach Ashkenaz or nusach. So people know, you know, which.
In Tamar, it's worse. You tell who's. They balance it out. So, like, if you go for Shabbos morning and you got an Ashkenazi of Shachris, you get a Sephardi Muslim.
We have that here. What are you talking about? We have that here. We have it here. You could have an Ashkenazi davening Pesukah de Zimra, Sephardi davening Shachris, and then an Ashkenazi davening Muslim. Right? Not sure that it's the right thing to do, but it is the reality of.
Let's say
differences are. Like Shir Shayom will always be in the same.
Right.
So, when I first came to Efrat in Geffen, it was also a dealer's choice. So we had some Shabbatot, depending on who the chazans were from Musa for Shabbos. We said it twice, Shir Shayom.
Shir Shayom, the placement of Shir Shayom, but in terms of whether you're davening the Svardi or the Ashkenazi, the Nusach Svard or the Ashkenazi, Psuket Zimra, or right, or what?
Tachnun,
or you know, whether you say the
Gimel,
right, or whether you're simply davening, whether the Chazan is saying the Kedusha for Svar Hashem. This is all the illustration. So normally speaking, this is not correct. In the old world, this didn't exist, and this is a phenomena, a blessed phenomena of the kibbutz galiot that we are experiencing, where Yidden come from all over, even from darkest Australia. And it's not dark Australia, it's dark Africa.
It is, but,
right? But it's remote Australia.
I started in darkest Africa as well. So.
Oh, that's true. That's true. You have to hold the sitter upside down there.
Handstand on your head.
Yeah, yeah.
There are places though that have the Nagama coming.
But there are places that have a very strong Nagama.
I was in Yavniel for Shabbat.
Yes.
And that was like,
well, they're Breslov town.
So, but it's a Breslov town. Well, there's a Kilav of Breslov, but it's Breslov, but there's like all kinds of groups. But the Rav HaIr, or Yeshu, whatever it is, was Kovea, that in the main shul there,
yeah,
no matter who you are, everyone has, I think everyone has done a new Tassarad. And Bahavara a Saradik. So even you get these guys who are totally Haredim, and they, you can tell it's not that they have to be tough and settle off. It's like
right.
Really strange to watch them have to do the acrobatics.
You go into Yeshurin. It's a, but you go into Chovave, it's, you know, if you're not a Yekke, you're in trouble. But here, those are old time places. Here in Efrat, it's not in Magen Avram. They daven only Ashkenaz?
No. When Yeshurin was alive, I think they only daven Ashkenaz.
Yeah, that's my memory too. But which is the way it was in America. Look, when I was a kid in America, I didn't know any Sfarad. There were none in our shul. And if a Sfaradi came and had a daven, I didn't know any Sfaradim. I didn't know people daven Nusach Sfarad. I mean, only because it wasn't in the Birnbaum Siddur. Davening was what was printed in the Birnbaum Siddur. And if you came to shul, I mean, first of all, you couldn't find another Siddur.
Birnbaum did not have a Sfarad Siddur.
Right. No, but if you came to shul, you didn't have any other Siddur to choose from. And this was before people used to walk around with their own Siddurim, and certainly not with other Torah. So if you daven...
The Polo Salt, no?
Huh?
The Polo Salt.
The Solar Pool. Was also a straight Nusach Ashkenaz. That was the Siddur of the RCA.
But I think in Chicago, one of the big minor effectuals is Kins in Massachusetts Park. But Kins stands for He Left Israel Nusach Sfarad. But when they eventually did some changes in the early 90s, kind of became in the show, they're totally Nusach Ashkenaz now. But my joke is they probably kept the name Kins because if they changed the Nusach Ashkenaz, it would be Kinan. It probably isn't the most.
So anyway, the point is that when a whole community shows up and rents a room in the inn, there's an idea that they're maintaining their connection. And this is why you had, you know, in America and Europe, you had all of these different Landsmannschaften synagogues where people showed up, you know, they were...
That's why, not just social?
No, for all types of reasons. But when they did, they showed up and they made themselves a little shtibble and they preserved the minhagim of wherever it was that they came from. Right?
Because what?
Because of, well, you know, for the social reasons, for the... that's what a Landsmannschaft means. Landsmannschaft means land is land, man is man, and a Schaft is a society. So it's the society of all of the people that came from a certain place. Right? In other words, in Agdon was from a little town called Butchach. So in New York, there was something called the Butchacher... the Butchacher Landsmannschaft. Right? And they have their own cemetery plot where you could buy a plot in the cemetery. And they, you know, if they all happened to live in one area, they had a little shtibble where they davened according to the customs of the old hometown. And this idea that one community can pick up and move someplace else and kind of maintain the integrity. So when one community shows up in town and they get the tax that's stuck. That stuck a tax assessment put on them, so it's reasonable for them to say that's fine, but we are giving the money to our townsmen. And then they give the money so that people shouldn't think that they're not giving money and it shouldn't have a bad effect on everybody's desire to give. But when they're checking out, they take the money back out of the kupa and they bring it back to their hometown and they give. But when a yachid shows up, right, you're not on the organized tour. You show up in town, and everybody's giving tzedakah for something, so you also have to give tzedakah for that thing.
It was strange. Before they left the town, they had their magbit there. They already gave them money. Now they come to this new town.
And there's another magbit.
So they get the money back. Will they have to give more money when they come back home?
Don't worry. They're happy to accept.
I understand that.
Don't you work in finance?
Yeah,
no. Don't you work in the finances of a large charitable organization? Yeah. Aren't you always happy to get more?
I'm happy.
No, the people who give can't afford to charge twice. Yeah. It's also strange because people didn't walk around carrying, you know, money with them.
Well, I don't know. Presumably, this wasn't. This wasn't the pay up the building fund up front. It was a certain amount of money that you give for the care and upkeep of the local poor.
No, but it wasn't the local poor.
No, it was. In other words, they say, Rabbosai, this week everybody's got to kick in 10 zloty. Right? Because this almona needs a little help and that orphan needs shoes and that widow is getting remarried, needs hachnos skala and all these other things. So everybody had to give 10 zloty. How much is 10 zloty? I don't know, but it's not a lot. Right? It wasn't your yearly giving. Right? It was a tax that was put. Right? So it wasn't. I don't think we're talking about a certain. It's not like you show up in town and they say, everybody has to pay day school tuition. You say, well,
you're saying that this is for everybody in town. It wasn't just for the visitors.
Yeah, I imagine.
Poskin Allah.
Yeah. It's not clear.
Okay.
It's not clear, but I presume that this was a, you know, whatever it was.
That would make more sense.
Two questions. One is, I'm assuming you have to pay for the tent because
I'm not sure. In other words, how many are B'nai Ha'ir?
Two.
Ten?
Two families coming.
Two? Well, because B'nai is plural, yeah. I don't think it doesn't sound like it's two, right?
I expect the Gemara to talk about it.
What?
The second question is more of a technical nature, and it goes on both sides.
Yeah.
One is, what if, let's say, they're collecting because this an orphan has to get married, and that's why they're collecting. And they tally up all the money, and they're like, okay, this money we're supposed to give back, but if we don't take this money, you can't do the wedding. So then what happens? And also, what if the guy doesn't have the money to give? What if he came to town because he was looking for a job? Okay, I'm a visitor here.
Poskin 11 might be that they made an assessment, in other words. The rich had to give more and the poor had to give less and the really poor didn't have to give at all. I don't know.
So we're sort of talking about a situation where, for example, a few hundred people from wherever came to, 20 people from wherever came to Leipzig for the fair. The Jewish community of Leipzig is Govea the Ham for a period of time to Leipzig.
Yeah.
And then they leave and come here until back. So so Rashi is giving us an answer. But the Gemara could have easily told us exactly the opposite. You know, if you're just coming temporarily and you're staying for less than 30 days, you don't have to get any stuff.
Yeah, that's not what the Gemara
said. I understand, but I don't understand. It seems like an awfully convoluted way of a more complicated way of getting people to get stuck.
Yeah, I don't know. Rav Huna, Reshe, Rav Huna. Gazar ta'anita. Rav Huna, for whatever reason, declared a fast in his town. Al legabei Rav Chana bar Chaniloi. Rav Chana bar Chaniloi went up to his town. Rav Huna was where? In Sura. Yes? Yes. So Rav Chana bar Chaniloi shows up in town when Rav Huna had made, you know, a local fast, you know, just for some purpose in that town. V'chol b'nei Matya. Ramu alayhu tzedakah. So they declared that they should have to give tzedakah on this fast day. V'yahave. And he gave. Because he was he was visiting a town. No, but Mati means place. B'nei Mati the Pemer. Rav Chana bar Chaniloi v'chol b'nei Mati and all the people of his town is he was in some nearby village. So he and all of his people came up to Sura on the day that Rav Huna had made this ta'anit, and it was determined that they should give staka on that day. So according to what we learn now, what should be the halakha?
They get it back.
Because it's a b'nei ha'ir. It's all the townsmen. However many people lived in this little village. Ki boi lemete, when they wanted to leave, amrule, notvalan mar, venizel, give us back our money and we'll take it and go and give it back to the poor people in our place. Venefarnes b'nei aniye matem, and we'll support the poor people of our place. So amar lahu, tanina, b'madvarim amarim, what is that teaching? That the Bnei Ha'ir get their money back to give back to their own local place. V'she'en sham chaver ir. When there is no chaver, now chaver, it's not clear how to read this Gemara. Either chaver ir or chever ir. What's the term chever ir mean? Where else do we know that in the Mishnah? Huh? No, the exact phrase, chever ir. So in the Mishnah, in the Mishnah at the end of the fourth perek, Masechet Brachot. The Mishnah, it's not the halacha l'maisa, but the Mishnah has the idea that you only daven musaf in a place where there's a chever ir. Basically, it means an organized community or a minyan. In other words, if you're alone and you have no minyan, you don't daven. You don't daven musaf.
Even just a crime minyan?
No. There's three different ways to read that Gemara. But let's take the simplest way, that there's no such thing as davening musaf b'yachidus. Why?
Because there's no korban, yachid.
Yeah, because there's no korban. In other words, all of the other tfilot, shachas mincha musaf, shachas mincha ma'ariv, are, what's the source of those? Which one is it?
Both.
The Gemara and Daf Kafav goes on long trying to figure out what is the source of davening. Is it the Avot? Tfilot Avot Tiknum? Avram Davin Shachris Yitzchak Davin Mincha Yaakov Davin Maariv? Or is it Tfilot Keneged Midim Tiknum? That it's in place of the sacrifices. And the Gemara answers both. But Musaf is only in place of the korban, and yechidim did not bring a korban musaf. Only a tzibur, it's a korban tzibur. So you only daven musaf if you're with a tzibur. That is called in the language of the Mishnah a chever ir, right? A city group. So the Gemara here, most Mefarshim read this chaver ir. What's a chaver? No. A Talmud Chacham. What we call the local Orthodox rabbi. So when is the local Orthodox rabbi? So there's two ways to read this Gemara also. What is it that circumvents the original halakha that we learned? Right? So Rav Huna says, when there's a chaver ir, when there's a great posek in town,
like myself,
so then, even though you came as an organized group, you give the money to me, not to me personally, and we distribute it locally. Aval yesham chaver ir, tinatein la chaver ir. When there's a chaver ir, v'kol shekein, de'aniye didi, v'didchu, alay smichi. And even more reason. Because what was this? There was surah, and there was this little village. It's so small we don't even know its name. And you know, this goes back to earlier in the Masechta, where we're talking about the villagers that would come in to the city and when they would read the Megillah. The surrounding villages were dependent upon the city. Not just economically, but halachically. The principles that governed, the halachic principles that governed the city had force even in the surrounding villages, if the surrounding villages was subservient to the city. So Rav Huna says, well, my, there's another reason you should give the money to me for me to distribute it, because the people in my city, the poor people in my city, and the poor people in your village are dependent on me. Meaning they also receive, the poor villagers also receive their tzedakah rations through this central Israel fund. The central fund that's organized by me, Rav Huna, in Sur. So even more reason that you should give it. Okay.
So that the poor people of the big city are also the poor people of the small city.
But it's that they're all the same. They're all supported through this one gemach. Right? They're both supported by Rav Huna's charitable enterprises. You see, Rashi says, Chaver ir talmid chacham hamitasek b'tzorchei tzibur. It's not only that he's a talmid chacham. Right? But it's because he is the communal authority.
Does that still hold true today? If you're a group of, let's say, 10 people,
yeah, well, today we don't have this kind of mandatory stuck attacks.
No, but still, if we're a group of 10 people, let's say we go to Italy,
yeah,
and there are a lot of Milan in where we're staying, the shul says, you know what, we're having a building drive, whatever, and
the shul has no authority to force you to give tzedakah.
Yeah, we have a place here where people live within spitting distance of the shul, and they're members of the shul, and they daven in the shul three times a day, and the shul says we're having a building fund. V'cholzot, they don't pay. It's outrageous.
I was talking more like, if we go as a group of people, we go to visit a different city, and within that city, there's like an interaction. Am I beholden to that city, or can I go, in terms of stucco or other halakhic?
But what kind of what's the scenario? Today we live in a completely voluntary world. There's no. The Mishnah says, "Ein mochrin et shel rabim liyachid, b'pnei shemoridin oto mikdushato." You shouldn't sell it that belongs to the community to an individual, because the transference of the property from something belonging to the community to something of an individual is reducing its holiness. What is the antecedent of it? So either it means all the things in the Mishnah before, or it means a synagogue.
Because that was the last thing.
And there, as you can imagine, there are two different ways to read the Mishnah, or two different ways to understand the Gemara that's based on the Mishnah. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Amrulo in came, af lo miir gdola liir ktana. If that was true, that you can't sell a community synagogue to an individual, right? Now, let's say that you have a shul, and the shul is. Public, meaning it's public property in the sense that it's not owned by an individual, it's owned by a community. And the shul is closing. Right? Everybody moved away. So they can't sell it to one person who's going to come in and say, I'm going to buy it, it'll be my private shul. Because that reduces the kedusha. How does that reduce the kedusha? Less people using it. I mean, even if it's... So surely you still need 10 people to show up.
The more the merrier.
Maybe that's because it's web users.
No, but the number of people showing up has nothing to do with the number of owners.
Right. What were you saying?
Steinzel says that Yerushalmi says it's talking about a Sefer Torah that's not there.
Yeah.
Which makes a little more sense in that context. I think of that.
Yeah. How does a Sefer Torah that's owned? We have two Sefer Torah. They're identical Sefer Torah. We read a lovely Achnasa Sefer Torah last night in the middle of the night. Anybody else there? Asechayo made a Achnasat Sefer Torah and Rote Tzion made a Achnasat Sefer Torah in memory of Stephen Esses. How does two identical Sefer Torah? One is owned by Beit Knesset Mishkan Sipora, and one is owned by David Kerwin. Why does your Sefer Torah have less Kedusha?
It's not used by the Sipora.
Why is that the function of the Kedusha?
Well, we talked about that before. That was the use of the purpose, the use of it is what turns it into a
I wonder why it also doesn't
use. You could put your Sefer Torah on your own for everyone to use.
Yeah. Presumably, no. If it's it's an individual, it's not going to be the same level as one has the.
It's not going to. It's not inherently going to affect as many people. If I own a personal safe jar and I use it. Okay, it affects me because I'm reading from it.
No, but not necessarily. You could have a personal Sefer Torah that's read from every single Kriya Satorah. Adarabba.
In our here, shul, our Sefer Torah.
Yeah, but that's not, that's not what it's talking about here.
Yeah.
I think what it's talking about here is like...
He's talking about selling.
In a book. So like somebody had a Sefer Torah. They read their... I mean, like you have Megillah or something. Somebody knew Megillah.
In our shul, we have two individuals and one that belongs to the shul. The one that was belonged to the shul is only read once a week, Shabbos morning, and the other ones he used during the week, three times a week.
Right. You know,
it's not a question of
that. In other words, it's not a question of use. But apparently, the Mishnah, or at least Rabbi Meir, seems to think that a Sefer Torah that's owned by the community, or a synagogue that's owned by the community, or any holy object that's owned by the community, has more inherent kedusha because it is inherently it's communal property. And all things being equal, let's assume you have two identical Sefer Torah and they're both read the exact same number of times to the exact same number of people. Right? You can say, oh, shul rabim, you know, the 1,000 people come to that shul, and the other one is just so they have a family minion that only gathers. No. Everything, all things being equal. But inherently, something which is the property of the community is invested with, I don't know, something of
the... We're talking about Rechavar Shaliyah in the first mission.
What?
In the Mitzvah, just the only thing about it is the fact that it's associated with the community.
Well, if you look at it as... the Mitzvah is to write a Sefer Torah, but, I mean, if you have, let's say, five people owning a Sefer Torah together, so that's, let's say, five Mitzvot. If you sell it to three people... It has two less mitzvot. Again, it's not exactly...
Is it talking about ownership or usage?
It's talking about ownership. It's talking about ownership. So the response to Rabbi Meir, Omru lo im kein af lo mi'ir gedola li'ir ktana, implies what?
Less people.
Because of less people. Right.
But again, that's a question, is it talking about ownership or ownership. People?
It seems to indicate ownership.
Then why does it make a difference if it's from a big city or a small city?
Because what is a community? A community is the sum of the people that are part of it. So a bigger community has more, I guess, has more kedusha. It's not clear, but it's.
Isn't kedusha made by a person, like made by the people?
Well,
the
usage. There are different types.
More people are using it.
No, there are different types of kedusha. A Sefer Torah that's never been read from. You have a brand new Sefer Torah. You have shuls like this. They have like, you know, by the Sfardim, they have like an Achnas Sefer Torah twice a week. Right? It's like constantly they have that truck out there with the, right? What do they need all this Sefer Torah for? You could have a Sefer Torah, I'm sure. You have a Sefer Torah. It's never been read from. It just sits in the Aron. Never been read from. Does it have Kedusha Sefer Torah?
Absolutely. Yeah. I can't imagine there's any different level of Kedusha than any other Sefer
Torah. Right.
How having a larger community is it more Kedusha? In other
words,
no, but that's the response. No, that's a Havamina. In other words, Rabbi Meir says you can't sell from a tzibur to a yachid. So the answer, the critique, the attack on Rabbi Meir is, if that were true, you wouldn't be able to sell it from a large to a smaller one. Obviously, that can't be the case. You can't sell from a large to a small. So it's a rejection of Rabbi Meir.
And how do you shift the Beit Knesset from a large city to the Knesset?
Well, again, it's as if we're talking about a Sefer Torah, so then it makes sense. If you're talking about Beit Knesset, it's a little harder to read the Mishnah. So Gemara says, Shapir ka'omre la rabbonan Rabbi Meir. The rabbi's response to Rabbi Meir is well and good. Me'ir gedola le'ir ktana, me'ikara kadisha, hashtanami kadisha. When it belonged to a big community, it was holy. Now it belongs into a small community, it's still holy. There's no reduction of holiness. Mirabim liyachid, Leka Kedusha. Rabbanan I ikala michash ki hai gavna nami ikala michash mishum berov am hadras melech. It's not a matter of Kedusha. It's a matter of this kind of meta halachic desideratum. Cool. That all things being equal, it's better to do things in a large group. All things are not always equal. But generally speaking, you know, we have this idea, who should make Kiddush on Friday night? I've given this example before. You show up at somebody's house, if you want to invite me to your home for Friday night, I will gladly come just in order to demonstrate this point. I'll bring my wife and a few of my children. I don't know who's on this weekend, but we'll let you know. And you will say, would you like to make your own Kiddush? And I will say, no, I'll be Yotze. There's always one wisecracker every now and then that says, yes, I'd like to make my own Kiddush. Like, really? But it's like the Nimus, like the game we play. Why does generally one person, who has to say Kiddush? Who's obligated in Kiddush? No, who's obligated in Kiddush? Everybody. But what do we do? No, the women are absolutely chayv in Kiddush, the same as the men. Adarav, the women might be more chayv in Kiddush than the men, for the reasons that Rabbi Akiva Eger has taught.
More?
Yeah, because the men have technically, if the men daven Friday night, they have technically fulfilled their biblical obligation of Kiddush by reciting, verbally declaring that it's Shabbat. It's only a rabbinic injunction that you have to say the set text while holding the cup of wine. But if you verbally declare that it's Shabbat, you daven, then you said, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbat. So you've already fulfilled your biblical obligation. Now you only have merely a rabbinic obligation. But women, I mean, unless they, women have a candle, certainly somehow verbally made their picture. But a woman, let's say a girl.
Hadlakat Nerot is not enough?
No, so let's say a girl who doesn't like candles.
Okay.
You have a daughter, a teenage daughter, who doesn't like candles because the mother lights candles. And Rachmonis, she didn't daven. Right? Because not all girls daven Marv.
She's planning on davening after the meal.
Yes. So she still has a biblical obligation. And her father, who now merely has a rabbinic obligation, cannot be motzi her. Right? This was a famous question of Rabbi Akiva Eger. He said, like, you should always be careful to... Like, you should tell everybody to daven. Or at least to say something. But at minimal, you come home, you say Shabbat Shalom, and they say Shabbat Shalom. That's the kind of like minimal verbal declaration that indicates it's Shabbat in order to now put everybody on the same playing field. Okay. So everybody has to say Kiddush, but we choose one person to say Kiddush for everybody. Why do we do that? Well, it might have been because wine was expensive. But the answer that's given is Berov Am Hadrat Melech. Right? This idea that it's better to do mitzvot all together in a big crowd, and that gives somehow glory to the mitzvah, it gives glory to...
So why don't we all say Kiddush together? How does that answer the question?
No, it's better to have one person saying Kiddush for lots of people instead of everybody saying Kiddush for themselves. Yeah, Leila Seder is a different problem because everybody has an obligation. So Friday night, how much wine? If you make Kiddush for me, how much wine do I have to drink? None. It's the custom that you pour it out into these silly little glasses, right? But because people like to drink a little something. But technically, I don't have to drink anything. I just have to hear you saying Kiddush. You have to drink. Leila Seder, there's a different problem, because Leila Seder, everybody has to have the first of the four kosot.
No, right? There's some places in Leila Seder everybody makes Kiddush together.
Right.
It says the Kiddush. In some places, we're only the Balabayim.
Right, but that's because people want to say the bracha for the Arba. You don't want to, for the Arba kosot, everybody wants to say the bracha themselves, not to be Yotze with the... That's the... All right, so we'll stop there.
Okay.